KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. San Francisco is the latest county to report a case of West Nile virus. Health officials confirmed last night that the county's first victim is a middle-aged man who may have contracted the disease outside San Francisco. They say he's recovering at home. California's public schools are getting a mixed report card for standardized test results. Although student scores have improved overall, there are worrisome disparities among different racial and ethnic groups. Los Angeles Bureau Chief Alex Cohen has more.
The results of the 2005 Standardized Testing and Reporting Program were celebrated yesterday at the Wilton Place Elementary School in Los Angeles. Multicolored balloons matched multicolored charts that illustrated test scores across the state were up by 5% in English and 4% in math compared to last year. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jack O'Connell said he was also pleased to see how well the class of 2006 did in the California High School Exit Exam, especially in the English Language Arts section.
We've cut the number of students that did not pass in half, from 25% not passing as sophomores to now it's 12% not passing as seniors.
But not everything is rosy when it comes to student performance. O'Connell noted that African American and Latino students haven't performed as well as their fellow Caucasian and Asian students on standardized tests at all levels. There's an even greater disparity with special education students. For example, 88% of students overall passed the high school exit exam, but only 54% of students receiving special ed passed. Superintendent Jack O'Connell.
It's imperative on our high school professionals to focus even additional attention and resources to help the students that need more help so that we can eliminate that achievement gap.
Starting this school year, students in California will be required to pass the high school exit exam in order to graduate. For the California Report, I'm Alex Cohen in Los Angeles.
More than 6.5 million Californians under the age of 65 lack health insurance, that according to a new UCLA study. Researchers say the uninsured include 1 million children, and they say the average worker's contribution for family health coverage jumped nearly 80% between 2001 and 2003 to an average of $204 a month. The study finds that the vast majority of the uninsured are working adults and their families. And the troubled Getty Museum in Los Angeles has named a specialist in Indian art and architecture as its new director. Michael Brand is currently heading the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. He takes over December 1st, and he'll have his work cut out for him. The state attorney general is investigating the Getty Trust's financial practices, and a senior curator faces trial in Italy for allegedly conspiring to acquire stolen artwork. A landfill in L.A. County's San Fernando Valley has been so unpopular with local residents that city council members are reluctant to renew a contract with the dump's owner. Faced with the long-term question of what to do with garbage, Los Angeles and other municipalities are looking into high-tech solutions that could turn some of that trash into energy. Ilsa Setzial of KPCC has the story.
A trash pile at an industrial plant in Riverside County is made up of stuff that the city of Pomona couldn't recycle. Shredded newspapers, broken glass, plastic bottle caps.
This is the trash. This stuff would be going straight to the landfill, and instead of going to the landfill, we had the truck come over here and dump it right in front of our feed pit.
Toby Cole with International Environmental Solutions explains how the trash is fed into conveyors that look like giant screws, then dropped into a giant chamber where it will undergo a process called pyrolysis.
When it comes in, it goes through a series of valves. Those valves are what keeps the oxygen out of the system.
Now, why do you want to keep the oxygen out?
Basically, that's the difference between pyrolysis and incineration. Pyrolysis is burning in the absence of oxygen. There is no direct flame contact.
And what difference does that make?
It makes a difference in being able to recycle your byproducts, and it also makes a difference in the emissions.
Cole says the trash is heated to 1,550 degrees Fahrenheit.
The first 5 feet is really where all of the pyrolysis has taken place. After the 5 feet, all of the organics have turned into a gas, and the char and metal and glass are staying on the bottom while the gases rise to the top.
The gases are extracted and burned to create steam that generates energy in conventional turbines. International Environmental Solutions says from a ton of trash, it can get enough power to supply 650 homes. And in the process, it says, it can reduce the volume of trash by 70 to 90%. The process is a conversion technology. This one uses heat. Others use chemicals or microbes to ferment organic material because they can dramatically reduce the volume of trash and provide energy in the process. Conversion technologies have piqued the interest of several California cities and counties. But some community groups are wary.
It's exactly the same story that they gave us 20 years ago.
Jane Williams heads California Communities Against Toxics. She thinks these plants are incinerators in disguise, and like the old incinerators, not as safe as the operators say they are.
When you burn waste, whatever is in the waste, a certain percentage of it is liberated into the air. You can't get rid of waste, right? All you can do is change it.
But state officials say new thermal conversion plants are much cleaner than the incinerators of the past. Fernando Bertone is with the California Integrated Waste Management Board.
With any technology, the technology matures. Take the automobile, for example. You didn't have the level of air pollution control equipment in the 60s and the 70s, you know, you do now. You can't say that there are no emissions. There are emissions. It's how you control it. But are these incinerators in disguise? From my perspective, they are not. With these technologies, what you have is conversion of these materials into a usable product that could also displace the use of non-renewable resources.
Back at the plant, Toby Cole stands in front of what looks like a giant rectangular funnel and explains one of the ways the pyrolysis plant controls pollution. He says inside the structure there are 238 10-foot-long bags, sort of like vacuum bags.
They're coated with different materials depending on what we're trying to capture. And what happens is the air has to pass through the bags and they hold all of the heavy metals and the particulate matter that's left in the airstream.
The system doesn't capture everything. Some oxides of nitrogen, carbon dioxide, and tiny amounts of lead, mercury, and dioxin are emitted to the air. The company says its emission controls meet or exceed government standards. The city of Los Angeles hopes to have a conversion plant of its own running in the next decade if it can find a neighborhood where people will welcome it. For the California Report, I'm Ilse Setzial.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, August 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems, on the web at chcf.org. Charitable Auto Resources, a full-service vehicle donation program management firm which helps nonprofit organizations increase their revenue, online at charitableautoresources.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California.